first phase in the life cycle of an IT system begins with a feasibility study. Not all IT systems that are conceived of see fruition, and the feasibility of all potential projects is considered in terms of three areas of feasibility: technical, economic, and social. So firstly, let's consider technical. This is probably the easiest area to address. A technical feasibility is concerned with whether or not a proposed system is indeed possible, given the constraints of technology and indeed the existing systems that the business has in place. There may be manual tasks performed by staff for which technology is just simply no substitute. However, with an infinite budget, there are perhaps a great many problems that technology can solve. And just because a particular system may be technically feasible, doesn't mean that it could be cost-effective for the business. So the factors of economic feasibility are concerned with assessing the financial benefits of a particular IT system compared to the costs involved in implementing that system. So for example, a particular project that could well be feasible on technical grounds that would cost many millions of pounds to achieve in order to marginally improve the efficiency of, say, a factory by 1%, just may not justify the investment. So in addition to the consideration of capital costs, for example, a powerful new server, or high-performing computers, or perhaps paying a software development firm to produce a bespoke piece of software for the business, consideration must also be given to ongoing running costs, such as IT support contracts. And finally, social feasibility is concerned with the effect on employees, customers, and perhaps the environment. The primary social consideration being, will a new IT system result in redundancies? And just because it might, doesn't mean that the system would be instantly dropped. But staff redundancies is never a decision that any business takes lightly. And if that is to ultimately become the consequence of introducing a new IT system, any decisions must be made with that knowledge. If staff aren't made redundant, there's still a good chance that their working life will be drastically affected by the introduction of a new system, with specific staff roles being completely redefined and many staff needing to acquire new skills and undergo training. It's also not uncommon with very large-scale IT systems, perhaps combined with a business restructuring, for some of the workforce to be relocated, which has a huge impact on employees' family life. The work of partners, schooling of children, and so on, could all be massively disrupted. And the wider social considerations must focus on the impact on customers. So, for example, would the implementation of a new IT system result in a loss of service? In the long term, it may be envisaged that the service could be improved, but in the short term, any level of disruption could potentially result in the loss of customers. So all the many factors of technical, economic, and social feasibility must be considered by senior management, ultimately to make a decision about whether a particular project is to be shelved or to proceed further into a full investigation of requirements. So a project judged feasible would be investigated by an analyst. And there are essentially four formal methods of investigation that an analyst might employ in order to find out about the existing business systems and to identify exactly what is required of a new system. Interviewing staff is one technique an analyst could use. The trouble with interviews is people tend to waffle on, and it takes a very skilled interviewer to actually draw out the information from people that's particularly useful. So realistically, with any investigation, only a relatively small number of people can be interviewed. And that's the primary disadvantage of interviewing as a technique. It's time consuming. So perhaps instead, a questionnaire could be produced and all employees could fill it out at the same time. The analyst could send out the questionnaire on a Wednesday afternoon, and by Thursday afternoon, they could have hundreds of responses back. Well, they certainly could not interview hundreds of staff in that timescale. So the converse advantage of a questionnaire is that a large number of responses can be collected relatively quickly. The trouble with a questionnaire is all of the questions are written before any responses are received. Depending on what somebody might say, the interviewer has the option to ask follow-up questions to draw out greater detail. And finally, when comparing interviews and questionnaires, a significant difference is the anonymous nature of a questionnaire. And very often, when completed anonymously, staff could be more inclined to be completely honest, whereas perhaps in an interview situation, people could have a greater tendency to lie or exaggerate. So interviews and questionnaires are techniques an analyst may use to ask staff for their opinions, but there's no substitute for first-hand evidence. So an analyst could observe directly. They could literally sit and watch how somebody does their job at present so they could understand what processes are performed and identify problems such as time delays, crashes or interruptions. Problem, of course, is, like interviewing, direct observation is extremely time-consuming, and in order to observe all aspects of a new system, it could take many, many weeks. An additional disadvantage of direct observation is the presence of an analyst may well alter people's behaviour, and therefore the productivity and the processes observed might not be an accurate reflection of day-to-day business practice. For example, under the pressure of being watched, an employee may feel that they need to put on a bit of a show and be seen to be working harder. And the final fact-finding technique available to an analyst is inspection of records, to do their homework, literally to take records home and study them, copies of customer invoices, stock lists, internal memos, minutes of business meetings, and so on. So although an analyst could walk away with a monstrous amount of paperwork, systems analysts tend to be very skilled at skimming to find exactly the information that's useful to them. So of the four fact-finding techniques, examining documents is the only technique where the presence of the analyst has no influence on the information being collected, and could therefore be considered perhaps the most reliable. Now, in reality, an analyst would use all four of these techniques, but your job in the exam is to compare and contrast the relative advantages and disadvantages of each.